Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and this week I'm doing another episode focused on a show. Granted, this one is going to be focused on the entirety of the show since it's very short, only four episodes. They're each very short, so I'm just going to talk about it in general instead of doing it episode by episode or just a single episode, as I normally do when it comes to shows. And that show is the Netflix animation Pokemon Concierge. Ignore the iPad. Pokemon. Very popular show. We've talked about it on here before regarding the first movie, but the remake of the first movie where it was all CG. I don't believe I've done another episode focused on it, but this is, of course, one that, you know, a lot of people have liked. Generally speaking, Pokemon is a well-beloved franchise by this point. Started around 96. US, we got it around 98. I personally, you know, got into it right as it came out, and yeah, it's been pretty much my whole life with Pokemon. And one thing I've noticed over the years is that they've really stepped up their game when it comes to the adaptations, because for the longest time it was really just the anime with Ash. We would get some movies with him, and that was about it. So it kind of feels weird that within like the last, I don't know if I want to say the last decade, but you know, it's been about that much that we've started seeing more material with Pokemon that is not Ash focused. We've seen, of course, the live action movie Pokemon Detective Pikachu, which this is crazy that they could have easily done a live action movie based on Ash, but instead they chose to go with a game. I don't know if the game was always intended to be a movie or it just kind of happened as they realized, like, hey, we can do a movie based on this, but we're not talking about that one today. YouTube has had various shorts focused on Pokemon where it's just, here's little stories. Like, there was one where it was like a Magikarp that gets lost from its owner. There's another short where it's like a little girl becomes a Gengar. Shorts based on the individual games where you see, like, okay, let's expand on individual characters. Like, I know they did it for like the Gen 8 where it's like, oh, look, here's like the day to day lives of some of the like the gym leaders or the champions or whoever. So they've been really expanding like what they do with Pokemon over the last few years. While the anime, of course, has its own charm with Ash and everything, you do kind of start realizing, like, we've been focused on this character for so long that there's, I don't want to say there's no stories you can tell with that character anymore, but you've kind of gotten through a lot of what you could already do with him. So it was nice to expand. Like, look, this is a whole universe of, like, essentially super animals. It was always one of those things where once they finally got out of doing that, it was always going to feel kind of interesting to see what they were going to do. And yeah, you know, we finally got away from Ash. The most recent generation didn't even have a show focused on Ash. They did have a new anime, but it's an all-new cast. I don't know how long that'll last. They'll probably go back to Ash for nostalgia purposes at some point. But for what it's worth, I think it's interesting just to explore, again, the whole universe. There's a whole lot of things you could do with this. Each of the Pokemon have their own, like, lore, and there's, like, nearly 1,000 of them, or already 1,000 of them. So it gets to a point where it's, like, yeah, you know, explore other things. It's just interesting to see this world. And this, of course, is another one of those. I know a lot of people were, at first, I want to say, not so much hesitant. They just didn't really seem to care, because Pokemon Concierge was originally announced through one of the, like, the Pokemon Nintendo Directs. I believe maybe it might have been at the start of the year last year, pretty much when they do like the one for like the anniversary of the franchise. And yeah, like, not that no one liked it, but no one really seemed to care. And as it got closer and we started seeing more stuff on it, people started getting interest. This was probably the first stop motion thing that they've done with the series. I'm trying to think, like, I know that they've done some ads, and even if you've played, like, the trading card game, there's been occasional stuff that they've done with, like, stop motion figurines and stuff like that, but nothing where it was, like, full animation, I don't think, unless I'm forgetting something, which someone will probably tell me if I'm forgetting something. But yeah, that was pretty much the whole thing with Pokemon Concierge. People were like, okay, so it's a resort with Pokemon. What is this about? And as it got closer, there was more hype around it. And because it's on Netflix, once it came out, there was hype. And it quickly dissolved. And I don't think that's necessarily because it's not a good show. It's actually a really good show. But Netflix is... problem with a lot of streaming shows, really. Unfortunately, if you drop all your episodes all at once, people are gonna forget you within a week. Like, unless your show is really outstanding, like, there's something that's really grabbing people, unfortunately, it's not gonna last very long in terms of people in people's minds. And with this being a show that each episode's anywhere between 10, maybe 15 minutes at most, and there's only four of them, it was never bound to really stay in people's minds, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. I enjoyed it. I didn't really know what to fully expect, because people were like, oh, this is a really cute show, it's a really laid-back show, so I was just like, okay, so that's kind of what it's going to be. And that's pretty much what it is, but what I found surprising with Pokemon Concierge is that it's definitely a show you could show your kids, and realistically, this is something that I could see a bunch of preschoolers watching right before they head off to school. It's that simple. But it also reminds me of something like Shaun the Sheep, where, yeah, you know, little kids can watch it, there's no problem. But if you're the parent watching it with them, not only are you going to enjoy it, you're probably going to enjoy it a little bit more than they are. And in the case for this one, it's because there's some topics in the four episodes where it kind of hits hard into the what seems to be like the general points of this whole thing, where the main character, her name is Haru, in the English language, which is what I saw it in, she's voiced by Karen Fukuhara. Most people know her as she's the girl of the team in The Boys. I believe her name was Kimiko. I'm blanking out a bit, but I know she was also in the 2016 Suicide Squad as Kitana. Here, you know, she's pretty much like this, I want to say like a millennial, essentially. They never really specify, but, you know, given her age range, she's pretty much like a millennial who's kind of like, my whole life is falling apart. Like, you know, I've gone through a breakup, you know, I lost my previous job. It's all these things that have kind of stressed her out. And that's a lot of the focus of the whole show. Like, not so much that we get to know, like, you know, like all the stuff about, you know, how her life went bad, but just her feelings over, like, this anxiety of being in this new place after all these bad stuff, you know, keeps on happening to her, so it results in her basically struggling to feel like, okay, is she worth it? Is she gonna measure up being here? And that's generally what a lot of the show kind of revolves around. And yeah, it's great stuff. I do think that it helps the show become more relatable to a lot of audiences, because if it weren't for that aspect, I wouldn't say that the show was bad, but it would definitely be something where I'm like, okay, it's for kids, it's simple, it's fun, I'm not really gonna be watching it, and I'm not gonna be demanding for more. But because you have that aspect to it, I'm like, okay, it's relatable, it gives you basically more for you to root for these characters for, beyond just like, okay, they're cute and we want to see good things happen to cute characters. It actually makes you feel like, okay, I'm kind of emotionally invested into this. Like, it's simple, it's still very much in a preschool level, but it is something that makes me want better things for these characters. And like I said, it does make me want to see more for this show, because as far as we know at this point, this is all we're going to be getting out of this show, which would be a shame because it's a really nice show. It's nicely animated. The characters are fun. Overall, it's really nice, but they haven't announced whether or not they're going to give it a second season, and there's no guarantee the Pokemon Company is going to want more out of it. I mean, I know that they do new stuff, like, you know, like when it comes to like the shorts on YouTube every now and then, but I don't think they regularly continue on from very specific ideas and, you know, concepts when it comes to shows. Like, you know, they did a few shorts for like Gen 8, and then here's some shorts for Gen 9. There's some shorts that are non-related to any of that, but they were done in different styles, so I don't know. You know, I have no clue whether or not they have plans for more. And I do hope that by the time this video goes up, or maybe sometime afterwards, they announce something, because it was well liked. It's just, you know, who knows realistically. Again, that's the problem with Netflix and streaming stuff in general. You drop it all at once, you're not guaranteed to get much attention. Because this was, you know, I did hear a lot of people talking about it the first week. I mean, that's why I decided to give it a watch. But by the time I finished it with the second week, people were already pretty much moving on to pretty much everything else. So, like I said, with Pokemon Concierge, you have the whole show broken up essentially into four episodes. I wouldn't say that they all continue off of each other, but they all essentially build off of what the central theme seems to be, which is about accepting yourself and accepting life as it comes at you, regardless of all the hardships. Because you got the first episode where it's like the main character Haru arrives into the island, and the head of the island is pretty much like, okay, look, your whole thing today is just going to be to be a guest here. That's essentially your test, so to speak, of working here. Because you're going to be the concierge, but I want you to be a guest today. And she's kind of freaking out because she's like, oh, that's such a weird idea. Like, why would I be a guest? Like, maybe she's trying to trick me or something like that. She meets the other workers in the island, which you got like this laid-back dude who focuses more on like exercises. You got this other girl there who essentially is like a part-time worker. I don't know if she had a very specific job other than just fixing up some stuff, but, you know, it didn't really feel like it was anything too specific from what I remember. But essentially, you get the general idea. Throughout it, there's a side deck that's constantly looking but leaving, which that leads into the second episode, which is about Haru trying to befriend the Psyduck after she's told, like, hey, try to befriend one Pokemon that's around here. Because the whole resort is pretty much like, okay, people come in, they have their Pokemon, but there's also Pokemon that just stick around there that are from the area, and they just like to relax. So they're considered guests as well. Cute. The Psyduck is constantly going there, but he's too shy. So it kind of mirrors Haru, who at first, you know, you're thinking like, okay, she wants like a Pikachu based on how she talks, and of course Pikachu being the mascot of the franchise, you'd assume that that's where it goes. Surprise, surprise, she befriends the Psyduck, they become close, and the Psyduck becomes her partner for the rest of the show. You then get an episode where they're trying to help out this Magikarp, which is, you know, for those of you who are not familiar with Pokemon, it's one of the most pathetic Pokemon around, but that's kind of the joke because it evolves into this bigger, stronger Pokemon called Gyarados. But this is a Magikarp that's really pathetic because it struggles to swim. Like, it always needs like a little floaty, even though it's a fish. And they're trying to basically help this thing, you know, grow in its confidence, so to speak. Shenanigans happen. And then the final episode, you bring in the Pikachus. There's one specifically that's very shy. The owner wants to know why he's shy and hopes to get the Pikachu out of its shell, essentially. So you got all that, and it all just builds on that central theme of like accepting, you know, your own limitations, accepting life as it comes to you, all of that stuff. not the most complex, and to be fair, the biggest downside to this is that since it is a very simple show, I could easily imagine some older viewers, you know, maybe turning away from it, if they don't find any real connection to the whole anxiety and like the character's issues. But it never does anything too wrong for that to matter. Like I said, it's only 4 episodes, so even if you're not too into it, I would say watch it in an afternoon. I mean, like I said, most of these are like 10, 15 minutes max. They're not very long episodes, so you can knock it out real quickly within an hour. If you're into Pokemon, you'll definitely love it. If you're not, you might still enjoy it. It really just comes down to whether or not you can enjoy the stuff that's in there. I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, you know, going into it, I did kind of worry, like, especially with the first episode, like, okay, this is going to be something that I'm bored by the end of it, just because it's very simple. It's not, I don't want to say there's no conflict, but there's not really anything that gets too intense, which is not bad for something that's laid back, but it's not like it has anything that's too laugh out loud funny or too amazing beyond just seeing the animation on it, which is really well done. There's definitely some behind the scenes stuff that really shows you how hard they work on it, and it's still all pretty impressive. The characters themselves look great. I like that the Pokemon, you know, still translate well from their original designs. A lot of them, you know, have a felt look to it. The few that don't, you know, are usually because they're like, okay, this Pokemon definitely cannot have it, like whether it's because it's like a steel Pokemon or just something about it. But, you know, for the most part, they're mostly just like felt, which is in contrast to like when they did it in live action where they tried giving it a more realistic look where Pokemon that had feathers would have feathers, Pokemon that would have hair, and, you know, it confused some people just because some of those Pokemon never really look all that furry in the drawings. Here, they're more closer to it, I would say. But like I said, a lot of them have felt looks to them. The human characters, I think, are nicely designed. They're very different from the typical anime look. They look like, I don't want to say that they look like generic stop motion characters, but they look a lot closer to something like, I want to say, like the kind of stuff that you would expect like out of like the humans in like Nightmare Before Christmas or Corpse Bride. I guess that would be like with the Laika stuff, but I don't know, like I wouldn't go full on in on saying that they look like Laika characters. They're much more simple in design and they look more friendly, because I would say like the Laika humans, you know, at times look a bit more, I don't want to say ugly, but they look more like they look like people that, you know, are mean and nasty, and that kind of fits with their world. Since this one is supposed to be more laid back and chill world, you know, they look more simple and more friendly. But yeah, you know, it's a very simple show. It's fun. It's nice. It's not really anything that is gonna offend anyone. Like I said, it's definitely the kind of thing that I would imagine people watching, specifically kids, before they head off into their little preschool classes, and their parents would be watching it with them, and they would probably be enjoying it in the same way that, you know, they'd probably enjoy stuff like Shaun the Sheep. I mean, I know, you know, for me specifically, you know, sometimes when I'd wake up early, especially when my younger sister was still in school, I would sometimes watch, you know, like the little Shaun the Sheep shorts. And those were always adorable, including, I know they also did, like, the Timmy Time. Think of it in that range. It's not going to be, like, your Dora the Explorers or something like that, where they're, like, constantly stopping to explain stuff, which is fine for a little kid. But, you know, for an older viewer, that stuff gets grating. And, you know, thankfully, this is not those. Like I said before, if you're a big fan of Pokemon, you'll love this. If you're not a big fan, you'll probably still enjoy it just because of how charming it is. I personally just want more of it. I do hope they announce like season 2. I don't know if they necessarily need to expand on the season. Like if they want to just keep it at 4 episodes, each around 10 minutes, I wouldn't even mind, honestly. These are charming enough as they are. Personally, I just want more stuff within this world. Like, okay, now that, you know, Haru is, you know, essentially accepting of her place here, you know, what else can we do? Maybe we can explore different Pokemon and their different anxieties, different people and their issues. Just stuff where we can really see what the potential for this world is. But if they don't, it ends off in a way where it's perfectly just in its own little box. You don't have anything where it's like, oh, this feels like a cliffhanger or anything like that, which has become way too common with a lot of stuff, especially in animation, where it just feels like if a show is not given enough seasons or anything like that, you're gonna get like, oh, you know, one or two or even more strings of plot lines where it just feels like, okay, but what happened there? And the answer is, well, they canceled it before they could acknowledge all of that. This, everything's all resolved, so you don't have to worry about not having certain things. Just really good stuff. I don't know. That's really all I got for this one. I just really wanted to get this out because I feel like, again, a lot of people have kind of moved on from this show, and I get why, but I think it'd be nice if more people got a chance to watch it. You know, I don't know. Maybe it convinces the Pokemon Company to do more, or by the time this comes out, they probably have already announced that they're doing more. Who knows? And in any case, thank you for watching. This has been I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse.
Huh? What's going on?
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. And in any case, again, thank you for listening. And I hope you have a wonderful day.